afternoon, Cape Cod, and the islands. Welcome back after a long hiatus to the Cape Cod Sportscast. I am your host, Wesley Sykes, and we got another A-list local celebrity guest lined up for you today. Cape Cod's very own shot doctor, Bob Catalini. Bob, how are you today?
Very good. Great, Wes. I really appreciate the limo ride over here.
Well, you know, we got to roll out the red carpet for you.
You guys are terrific. You guys are really terrific. Love it.
That's great. So we have the check in the mail for you, so that'll be coming soon. So, you know, you don't have to send anyone to break my kneecaps or anything for coming out here today.
No. Matter of fact, I have Venmo now, so will work.
Okay, that works.
If you want to do it instantly.
Well, I'm not exactly liquid right now, so I got to move some things around.
We'll make it work.
Yeah. All right, great. And so I thought of no one better to talk about the upcoming or now ongoing winter sports season as it pertains to the boys and girls basketball year than yourself here. So someone who's been around the game for a long time and worked with a lot of these players on a firsthand basis, and pretty unbiased, I would say, spectator of the game.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I do try to be very objective. I tell people that, especially parents, that the game is very subjective. People see it in different ways. Every coach sees it differently, but I also view it as very artistic and as an art form. I think it's art in motion to me.
Sure.
So it's very interesting.
You've had to have seen He Got Game, right?
The movie He Got Game? Actually, I'll tell you a little story. It's funny that you would bring this up. Have we talked about this?
No, you said it's a poetry in motion. That's what Jesus Shuttleworth describes the game.
Okay. So in 98 or 99... when Ray Allen was filming He Got Game, as you know, I'm very friendly with Jim Todd, who was in the NBA for about 15 years.
Sure.
And Jim had just been hired by the Milwaukee Bucks as an assistant coach. He had 1 year in. I had been out there, and Ray was a rookie. And the general manager that summer, things have changed a lot, but with summer leagues and workouts and training. Yeah. But anyway, that summer, the general manager told Jim, he said, I want you to stay in New England, but you're going to travel and you're going to work out two players for sure, and maybe another player or two, but you're going to go to Connecticut and work out Vin Baker.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to New York City and work out Ray Allen. Ray is filming a movie, which was He Got Game.
Yeah.
So JT, one of these, we have a property on the Cape, and he spends a lot of time on the Cape in the summer, and he asked me to travel with him, so we got in the car, drove to Connecticut, and sat in Vinny Baker's driveway for 2 hours, because Vinny, you probably know the background on him, he had some challenging situations. Finally, Vinny shows up, and we go to the, I think, local YMCA in Old Saybrook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
JT works Vinny out, which was great. Now we're off to New York City. We go to Basketball City, and Ray is filming, so we're going to meet him at Basketball City late at night, because when they're filming a movie, I mean, it's nonstop, 24/7.
And a lot of those basketball scenes occurred at night in that movie.
Oh, yeah. And Ray, being a creature of habit, you know, you could do another show just on Ray Allen and his work ethic, and he always took the first bus to every game on the road and got in and got his shots up and had a certain meal and so forth. But so we go to Basketball City. We're going to meet Ray at about, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Finally, he comes and comes in a limo with a driver. We go upstairs and JT works him out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrific. Nice kid. And but Ray's going to get in, even though he's doing this movie, as LeBron has done, they get in their workout.
Yeah.
Okay? They get the workout in. So, and the final little point about this story is that I was fortunate enough to be invited to go to the premiere in Connecticut of He Got Game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I still have my premiere ticket somewhere waiting for it to top out at like $500 on eBay before I put it out.
Sure,
public,
yeah.
You know, but
well, the good story from He Got Game that I always heard is that, you know, in that final scene when Denzel Washington's playing, you know, Ray Allen in that 1-on-1 game for where he's going to go to college, in that game leading up to that performance, Denzel Washington was really talking himself down, saying, oh, I got no left hand, I don't have this, I don't have that, and to Ray before everything, and apparently Spike Lee was even talking down on Denzel's game. so that when it actually happened, Denzel Washington scored like the first 4 points of that game, if you remember in that scene, and it was all through the left. So he completely, roped-a-doped Ray Allen there.
They actually went at it.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel played at Fordham.
He's a good player.
His freshman year at Fordham. That's back when you had a freshman team, and then freshman played on the freshman team. But then other things got involved in other things. But Denzel could play.
He ended up working out okay for himself.
He's just a terrific actor. I thought it was a great movie. I think I had the video, the movie at one time. I'm not sure. But Ray was a great choice by Spike Lee to.
It worked out well, right?
Yeah, terrific.
It's paid off.
Good game. Love the soundtrack, too.
Absolutely. A little Public Enemy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so as we just mentioned, yesterday, as we're recording this on a Saturday, was the start of the basketball season. Where were you last night? Who'd you go see?
Last night I went to Plymouth North, and I saw the Sandwich Boys play Plymouth North.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was, if I have that correctly, a 68-53 final in favor of Plymouth North. But junior captain Chris Cronin, game-high 29 points.
Did he have 29? I wasn't sure. We had a little conversation off-air about the Cape Cod Times. I opened up the Cape Cod Times sports page this morning. I see no box scores because I have a lot of kids I like to follow. So I didn't know how many points Chris had. He had 29.
I did get that from that game, but I did see that 29 points in the Cape Cod Times.
Okay.
Yeah, so Chris, they have it in the roundup, so I think their formatting is a little different.
Yeah, Chris can light it up. I mean, there are several players on the team, three of the starters that I've worked with quite a bit. Chris is he's a dedicated player. He and JP
Downs
and Will Harmon, who's now been... They're the three captains, actually.
Right.
Will had a pretty good game last night, sure.
Yeah, and I think that could probably be a good place to start, breaking down some local teams and how we kind of expect them to do, hope they can do, maybe some individual players from that. So Sandwich, we mentioned Chris Cronin. I think he has the potential to be one of the best players on the Cape this season if he continues to play, grow his game as he has in recent years. But you mentioned motor that just doesn't stop. He can fill it up from anywhere on the floor. I like him on the defensive end, but I think his offensive end and his handle is where he really shines.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got JP Downs, another guy who's worked with you. I think he's a four-year varsity player this year who's continuing to grow his handle as well. I think that's one of his strong points.
Yeah, I mean, they're great kids. The work ethic is, at the very top. Chris is very impressive. Chris is still learning, I think, what will work and what won't work.
Mm-hmm.
But his work ethic's terrific. He takes very good care of himself. You see him, physically, he's really getting strong.
Yeah, he looked like he beefed up a little bit this year. Yeah,
he's very coachable. So, it's early in the season. They have a few things to figure out, but I'm confident they'll do that. JP's game is very, very good. Great floor general.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be okay. This is just a starting point. So I wouldn't be too disappointed with last night. They didn't shoot it particularly well. And, Plymouth North. I mean, I tracked last night the threes. And, Sandwich was 5 for 23. Plymouth North was 7 for 17. So there's a bit of a difference right there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think, another game that we kind of talked about, two teams that aren't necessarily in my coverage area, but I've kept a close eye on at least one of these teams over the last couple of years, Cape Cod Academy and Dennis Yarmouth. Mm-hmm. Dennis Yarmouth comes out with a 58-46 win, and a guy that we're very familiar with, Connor Campbell, in a new team, leads the way with a game-high 18 points for the Dolphins.
Connor's very good. Very determined, great work ethic. Started working with him at the end of his freshman year. So he's put in some time with me. And, I can't say enough about him. He's going to do pretty well. Very good. He's got a good handle, good shooter. He also, for his size, pound for pound, an outstanding rebounder.
Yes.
Rebounder and a quick jumper. So, he's a very determined kid, and I'm happy he got off to a good start last night.
And I just always kind of envisioned him, maybe this is too much of a stretch or a comparison, but I've always loved in Paul Pierce's game as his kind of this herky-jerky ability, especially to be able to create a shot right around, you know, the foul line extended. And I kind of see a similar type of style with...
you're pretty observant. Because I'll tell you what, with him...
He seems very methodical. He knows where he's going to go with it.
He's very interesting because he was really like this... We try to get kids to shoot in like sort of one motion, sort of a Steph Curry, you know, one motion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much a 1-2 shooter. He'd bring it up, like cock a shot,
right,
and shoot it. And we tried to smooth that out a little bit, and it has smoothed out. And what it is now, when he brings it up, that becomes sort of his shot fake.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bite when he brings it up, he goes right by you. You know, he and I have talked about that a little bit. So that's a good component for his game, and he's tough to guard that way because right. He can shoot. You have to honor that when he brings that ball up in that shooting position. So you're pretty sharp there.
Well,
kid.
You know, that's why they pay me the big bucks around here, you know?
Yeah, you might be able to pick up a middle school coaching job.
I want to give myself that credit, you know. I don't know about that.
Yet. I think you could be in the mix next year. We'll see.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll throw my name in the hat here if anyone wants to hire me. On the other side of that game, Cape Cod Academy should be one of the premier teams to watch in Division IV South this year. A ton of returning talent, starting with Jaden Greenleaf, who was on the bench in this game. It looks like, according to the Times story here, that he had a cast on his right hand, an injury suffered in practice. That's obviously a tough blow, but they return Alex Marchand, a good outside shooter, mm-hmm. who was a transfer mm-hmm. from Cape Tech. And then I believe he's going to be a junior this year, Andrew James, their playmaking undersized big man, who mm-hmm. had, mm-hmm. I think, a team-high 17 points for the Seahawks, Seawolves, Cape Cod Academy.
They had a great year last year. They played this past summer in the Summer League Championship. They're not big, but they're very feisty. Mm-hmm. They have guys that can fill it up. My understanding, you know, too bad about Jaden. I didn't realize till I saw the newspaper that he had been hurt. But Andrew James, my understanding is he's worked really hard in the off season and has improved quite a bit. So good for him and good for them.
Yeah, and that's, you know, another three-point style shooting team who creates a lot of points off of their defensive transition trap game there, right? Which I think can kind of cause teams some trouble, mm-hmm. especially early on mm-hmm. if you're not used to practicing that sort of way. I know... in the three games they played against Upper Cape last year, I mean, they were pretty much hoping for Tom Brady Hail Mary passes over to the defense mm-hmm. across court to mm-hmm. try to beat that press.
Yeah, when you have a particular style that you play all the time in a team during the season has a day or two to prepare for that, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's, you know, this pressing, doubling, helter-skelter style, especially in high school, you can cause a lot of havoc for teams, you know, because teams maybe are practicing on running sets against man or zone or blah, blah, blah. When it becomes a full court game, which they like to make it a full court game, that's in their favor because, mm-hmm. you know, most teams don't play that way, aren't used to playing that way. You speed them up, causes problems.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think one of the teams that could kind of give Cape Cod Academy a run for their money, especially in the Cape and Islands Lighthouse League, but in D4 South overall, is Monomoy, you know, a team that went head-to-head with Cape Cod Academy last year.
Yeah, Monomoy.
And they came out with a 59-53 win against a pretty decent Dawson team.
You know, that was a good win. It's a good way to start the season. And I'll tell you, I've...
you have first-hand experience with a lot of these guys,
right? Yeah, I have
first-hand
experience because Keith Arnold, the coach, and I, we had talked, and I think last spring I did sort of a clinic down at Monomoy and showed the kids what training is all about and so forth, and several of those kids joined in with me this summer.
Mm-hmm. And you even went to them a couple of times, I thought,
this
right?
fall, yeah, this fall I did, but starting in the summer, Jamie Ruthier and Jason Reddy, Bradley Alexis mm-hmm. and Danny Gould, those four steadfastly got up in the morning, drove to Sandwich for 8 o'clock.
From wherever they are, yeah.
Chatham or wherever. And they put in, you know, including the fall, between the four of them, they put in over 100 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So that says something about them. And they're really nice kids, responsible kids. They're going to have a very good year. They're a good division, a legit Division III team. So
Division three, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of the other kids as well on the team. So Monday night, Sandwich at Monomoy. I'm going to really enjoy going to that game because I know many of the kids and the parents, and they've worked hard, you know, both kids from both teams. So it's going to be it's nice to go and sit back and watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And especially, like you said, with so many players that you've kind of helped kind of bring up over the summer here.
Yeah, so I texted Jamie and Jason last night and congratulated them on the win. And, you know, that's sort of a rivalry there, the Monomoy-Nauset thing. And
right,
for them to go into Nauset and get a win, it's, hey, like, good for them.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the real benefits of this newly formed or newly realigned, I guess, Cape and Islands League. Where you can have that Monomoy-Nauset game, even though it's two different divisions within the same league, you can kind of build that rivalry. Same thing with Sandwich and Monomoy this year.
I mean, I think this Cape and Islands concept is a good one. You know, my only...
There are issues with it. It's not going to be a perfect thing.
There are issues. As a former AD, there are issues. You know, I think Barnstable... It's just too big, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, regionally, they don't fit in anywhere. Yeah. And then locally, they don't.
Well, regionally, and I'll just be really brief on this, I think they could play in the league with New Bedford and...
Like a Southeastern
and
Conference.
Dartmouth and Bridgewater Raynham.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a better fit because, really, you should be going, in general, by enrollment. You know, that's where the state tournament is trending. You're going to see a totally different state tournament in a year or two.
Right, yeah, I know that's in talks right now, yeah.
But anyway, you know, nothing's perfect.
Sure, right, and a team that played Monomoy, I believe it was a double overtime thriller in the preliminary round playoffs last year, the Bourne Canalmen.
I was at that game.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think I caught the fourth quarter in both overtimes, so
yeah.
I got
yeah.
there just in time, actually, for all the exciting parts.
Yeah, that was
parts.
A fun game.
It really was. It was nice. And that was, Bourne only got in because of the Sullivan rule, and then they kind of pushed Monomoy.
No, which is fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, because they, play in the South Coast Conference, as we
I'm
were
okay
saying.
That.
I say that as a real basketball, baseball league, probably more still basketball. And they come in with a 69-62 road loss against Dartmouth to open the season. But that's a Bourne team that I think is kind of zagging a little bit while a lot of teams zig. I think a lot of teams want to go small and run and gun. And I think Bourne, under Scott Ashworth, that's really what they like to do. But they have a lot of size returning this year.
They do, okay.
So they have Wyatt Ream and Chris Darcy, who are two senior captains, returning, both over 6 feet. And then, of course, the returning... transfer, I guess, who was a 6'9 center, and Cam Dunbury coming back.
Yeah, it's nice to see. I ran into Cam recently at the Wareham Y, and we touched base a little bit because I had worked him out previously, so it was good to see him. Then he came back the next day and worked out with another guy. So, I hope when he gets up and running with the squad, I will definitely get to see Bourne.
Yeah.
And I know in talking to Scott, he has a couple of freshmen that he's high on. I don't know where they stand right
now.
So they're on the JVs or varsity. But
I know there was one freshman who I saw, and I'm going to blank on his name here, but I believe he scored 10 points. They had four players in double figures, including Darcy, who had, I believe, 18 points or 19 points. Brady Fitzpatrick had 12, and then Steve Barmarshi had 10, and the freshman, whose name I'm forgetting.
Barmarshi's still there.
Yeah, he's a senior this year.
Yeah. Nice. He's a nice player. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see Bourne, especially when Cam gets back there, because he's a difference maker at 6'8", 6'9".
Absolutely, and I think I didn't see him as much during his year in Falmouth. I kind of followed the box scores and the stories with him.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see him firsthand as much. I think the big thing with Cam... is that he's going to be a target. With his size, he's going to get doubled. He's going to get a lot of physicality down low.
Sure.
So I think if he can stay out of foul trouble and stay in the game for those crunch time fourth quarter situations, just having his presence on the floor, regardless of skill level, I think is almost a difference maker. And then you add in the skill on top of it, and he's a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he had a good year with Falmouth last year. I thought he improved as the season went on. He's definitely got a lot of upside, and he'll make a difference for sure.
You know,
I wish that kid the best. I really do.
And I think real quick here before we get on to some other players to watch throughout the season, Upper Cape Tech opened with a 55-37 road win against Tri-County. And this is a team to watch, I think, in the Mayflower. They return all but one starter from last year's team. They have the Nascimento brothers, yep. Dez and Jaden, yep. Connor Reedy, who's a senior captain, who's just really one of the best ball hawking defensive guards that I've actually seen in the area. I really love his game on the defensive end of the floor. And they had this other guy who was, I thought he was going to be the sixth man, but he's a sophomore. I'm going to butcher his name. It's Jared Nowarczyk. He has an older brother at Sturgis. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you.
The name does ring a bell a little bit. Yeah.
Nowarczyk, I apologize on that, but he scored 16 points, a game high 16 points for them. 6'2", can probably fill out a little bit more like we were talking about with the Logan Murphy over in Sandwich. That hasn't fully grown into his body yet, but lanky arms, good shooter, can post up a little bit. So he might be a player to watch on a team.
Yeah, I usually get over to see them once or twice. A couple of years ago, I saw them a few times. So, that'll be interesting.
And it's always an exciting game for them because I think, with Billy McCooch, they like to get out and run and gun, run the floor, high pace, create turnovers, that kind of traps, similar type of trapping scheme that we were talking about with Cape Cod Academy, too. So definitely worth the price of admission if you're going to going over the bridge to Bourne here. Any other players that you expect to kind of see their game grow up a little bit this year or kind of surprise?
I think we haven't talked about Barnstable.
Right.
And
Barnstable, Falmouth, and Mashpee, I don't think we've gotten to. I don't think they played last year.
Now, I did see, we both saw Mashpee the other day play.
Sandwich,
Scrimmage with Sandwich. And, the kid Caden Sylvia, he was with me a lot this summer.
Right. He's good size.
And you probably know, they have a couple of returning guards.
Devin Hughes and Kendall Rose.
Right.
Kendall Rose, I mean, those are two football players right there. So they're going to bring a physicality there. I think Kendall Rose is going to be one of the stronger, players on the court who can kind of bully his way to the rim at ease. I think Devin Hughes is another guy who has, nice elite kind of a first step, good handle. He could be kind of running the point for them. Matt Bowen is going to be their big man down low, big-bodied guy to kind of clear out and be heavy on the glass. But obviously, they're graduated their two leading scorers from last year in Devon Ford and Brett Pels.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to me like Coach Clark the other day was mixing and matching lineups, and he didn't always have his best players out there at the same time. So I think he was experimenting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do a good job. He'll have them ready to compete. That's a tough league. That South Shore League.
Abington will be coming back in that. Yeah. I think Cohasset's been a good team in recent years.
Yeah, it's a tough league. But Mashpee seems always to be up for the challenge, no question.
Yeah, and that's a tough town. It's tough kids there.
I think for sure.
So many of us are, I think they're going to be battling. I think they just missed out on the playoffs last year. Might have been in. I think they were docked a game for playing a kid who was absent from school or something like that. That was last year. I think they were docked a game.
Okay.
That they had won because a kid was sick and they played him, or I forget what.
There was some sort of discrepancy there. Yeah, he may not have been eligible. Sometimes there are attendance requirements,
Right. So I think had they had one extra win, they would have been in. But because of that, they didn't get in.
I see. Okay.
So I think they should be fighting for a spot. They are the D4 South.
What I've heard about now, obviously with Falmouth, Cam Dunbury isn't there. What I've heard about Falmouth is that
not a lot of returning starters.
No, but I heard they scrimmaged Wareham, and I guess the guards, they have a couple of smaller guards that played a lot last year.
Timmy Lang is one of them.
Yeah, and I guess the guards did a nice job. But
and that Wareham team should probably be the team to beat in the SEC Blue Division.
Sure, in that smaller division, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe overall. I mean, they have...
Right. That's, I think they did win it last year.
That's a talent-laden area, there's no question.
If I'm not mistaken, too, this usually goes the other way around with Wareham, but I think they had a couple kids from Bishop Stang transfer back.
And, Paul, with Falmouth, Paul will do a good job. He'll have them organized. They'll play hard. I mean, I think the Cape in general, for the bigger schools, DY might have a slight leg up on everybody, but everybody else, I think anybody can beat anyone. I think it's
right
on any given Tuesday or Friday, that kind of thing can happen. The smaller division, what are they, large, small, Cape and Island?
Yeah, so they do, the large is the Atlantic Division and the small is the Lighthouse Division.
Atlantic and Lighthouse. Okay. Yeah. Well,
it's festive, isn't it? Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, maybe they could have gotten sponsors. You know, the Polar Springs division.
Now we're talking. Cape Cod potato chips or something local.
You know, I mean, we got a brand. Right. But anyway,
the legal seafood division.
Yeah, why not? But I think in that the smaller schools division, you know, be Cape Cod Academy and Monomoy will fight it out.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I think that was the same case last year, kind of going right down to their final meeting with one another. Over on the girls' side, a couple of things. I'm not sure how closely you've been following the girls. I know you worked with Sierra Brigham a lot this year.
Well, I actually coached Sandwich Girls a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. I have some familiarity with the girls.
Now, okay.
I'm sort of becoming more familiar with the boys, for sure, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think this has probably had to be one of the better girls' matchups across the state last night, with Bridgewater Raynham against Nauset, Nauset.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Bolin, I'm not sure if that's a name you're familiar with.
Yeah, Division One prospect, yeah.
One of the more impressive players I saw, boy or girl, last year. I mean, just an amazing game. BR came out on top 74-53 despite 22 points from Avery Burns. Now, from what I understand about this Nauset team, they still have a lot of size, a lot of 6-foot players coming back.
They're still a talented team, and it's funny that I didn't realize that John P. Montese was back in the coaching ranks until I saw an article the other day, and I texted him and congratulated him. I had seen him quite a bit last year when he was officiating, but he has coached here and there forever, so it was good to see him. He'll do a good job with them, and I know they have talent, too. They're probably...
Yeah.
Certainly favored to win the Cape and Islands large school with the girls.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a team that could give them some trouble, though, is the Falmouth Clippers. I think they've lost.
Oh, absolutely.
Skylar Gonzalez, I believe, is transferred from that team.
Oh, really? That was the taller girl?
Yeah, she was only a sophomore.
Where did she go?
Rich was telling me this the other day, and I'm blanking on it. I think it's still local, though. I think it's a public school.
Okay.
But I'm blanking on it. But that'll be a huge loss. And I believe they're a little banged up right now. So they fell to Plymouth North.
Yeah, well, last 40 year,
40-39.
Yes, and Plymouth North is good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably a really good battle.
I think it was a buzzer beater. I think it came down to the final
seconds. Last year, actually, the ACL, what was left of the ACL, I believe Nauset and Falmouth tied.
Mm-hmm.
Because Falmouth did split the series with them. So, yeah, I mean, I shouldn't speak too soon because Falmouth, Bobby does a good job over there,
right.
And, you know, they have some kids. They still have...
Kayla Thomas.
They have Kayla Thomas. They have Ariana, who I think is terrific.
Yeah.
And they have the other little guard...
why am I blanking on
her? Sister played at Fien or something. She's been there for a few years herself. She's a good little player. Why are we blanking?
I don't know. That's a good question. I should know this.
I have a lot of programs.
you're more prepared than I am. I gotta tell you.
It is Emily Nelson.
Yes. Okay.
Emily Nelson. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think Olivia Peterson.
I don't think she's back. I don't think she's playing. She has a shoulder injury.
It's a shame because she was terrific. She did play soccer this fall. I did see her while I was reffing, and great athlete, very good player. You know, too bad she's. Not going to play basketball because of her shoulder injuries. So
that's too bad. But like you said, I have if you have a combination of Bob Buescher and Kayla Thomas, that's a pretty good head coach top player combination.
Hey, Kayla can go off and hit 6 or 7 threes in
game. If she gets hot,
not unusual, not at all.
Exactly, and I'll touch on the Bourne girls. They lost. I believe it was 59-39 in their season opener to Dartmouth, which should be one of the better teams in D2 from what I've been told, the Dartmouth Indians.
Yeah.
They looked really good. Bourne right now under third-year head coach Craig Davidson, going through a bit of a transition. They graduated a lot of their size, including 1,000-point scorer Emma Fenton. So now they're going from a slower, deliberate, plodding type of offense, a half-court offense.
Yeah.
To a run-and-gun style that better suits their senior point guard and Kaya Fernandez, who's a four-year
player. Yeah, she's a good player, right.
Yeah, very, very good, very intense.
Yeah, very intense. I always liked her.
High motor.
She plays, she's a good player. Emma, I understand, is doing pretty well up at Emmanuel.
So she just finished up the volleyball season and jumping right into the basketball season.
Yeah, she wanted to play both, so good for her. I've known her for a long time because she and my daughter had played AAU and
that's right,
friendly at one time, yeah.
That's got to be a whole lot on the workload. Play two college sports on top of your academics.
Back
and
in the day, it was relatively common.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's very rare because, you know, many of these Division III coaches are full time. They want your attention full time. They want you doing all kinds of things in the off season. So good for her and good for Emmanuel. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely got a good, good student, good player out of there. But I think Bourne will be a team to watch. Senior, they only have two seniors on the team, in Kaya and a wing, Brooke McCallum, who has a nice inside-outside game. She got hot from outside late in the third quarter there on Thursday. And then returning is Nora Barmarshi, who is equally as fast and equally as skilled as I say would Kaya would be. Maybe a little bit better of a shooter from outside than Kaya. But I think that's another name. Those three players there will be... do good things for a Bourne team that's not playing a difficult of a schedule. Usually they play Nauset twice, Bridgewater, Raynham twice, and they've really, and then of course they go up against the old Rochesters and some of the bigger schools in the South Coast Conference. But that's not the case this year. They're not playing BR or Nauset.
You know, you do have to sort of, you know, as a coach and as an athletic director, you have to sort of try to keep it somewhat. On the level and fair for the kids. I mean, you don't want to overschedule them. You don't want to underschedule them. You know, if you have a couple of tough games like playing Dartmouth to get ready for the season, that's fine.
You know, yeah, and that's what I always loved about, you know, overscheduling and playing those BRs and playing those Nauset teams when you're a D3 team like Bourne was, is that you may sneak into the tournament as a lower seed because of the win total. But that's a deceiving number to opposing teams who may not be familiar with you. You can kind of catch those
teams.
That's
why a lot of the, I don't know, I know in Central Mass they're going to sort of power ratings or, so they're seeding teams based on a power ranking, not so much the record. And I think that's coming across the state with Max Preps.
And that's how it should be,
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it only makes sense. You know, I think about that, I think volleyball has done that in years past. And when Bourne has had one loss to, you know, like a New Bedford, a Division I team, and they enter the tournament with one loss, they'll be a Sacred Heart team that plays nobody and they're undefeated. And it's like, are you really the best team in the region? Yeah. Right. But at any rate, I think a couple other questions for you. So, as we mentioned, you run your Bob Catalini is clinic. What's the proper title of this here?
Bob Catalini Basketball.
Bob Catalini Basketball. Simple, to the point. I don't know why I forgot that.
Yeah. I have a... I am on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get on Instagram.
Okay.
I'm going to do that.
You have your kids help you out with that, right?
Yeah. But I am on Twitter. It's at Bob Catalini.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to post a little something every day, maybe some information from a workout or some other type of basketball information. We kind of just stay in that niche.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll post photos of the kids I worked out that day or a quick video. So
I think that's all the rage now. You even see it in the NBA, you know. It's almost like a tree falling in the woods. Like, if you don't post a workout video, you're not working out, you know. So I think the kids love it.
I just think it's good to sort of keep a little bit out there, you know. It's it's win-win. It's good for the kids, it's good for the guys you work out, it's good for you. And, you know, a little bit of promo is good, you know.
We're
not going over the top, but we just want to let people know that we're working, you know, even in every season, really. I frankly thought, okay, the winter season is here. I really haven't done much over vacations, although I'm planning to do a little something for younger kids this year over Christmas and maybe February, because my own personal schedule has changed with my daughter at college now. Mm-hmm. So I plan on doing a little bit of that. But now I'm finding myself in Wareham working out. Working out a couple of pros, so.
Well, okay, so that was my question. Now, so as you said to me the other day, you know, this is supposed to be your off season, so to speak, as far as training high school kids go with the season kicking off. What do you do in the meantime? So, who are you working out now?
Well, Denzel Brito, who you know, is a former Division I player, is a Wareham kid. He played at Lawrence Academy.
I believe he was on an undefeated state champion Lawrence Academy team.
Yes, he was. 30-0. Well, it was a NEPSAC, you know, prep school championship, New England prep school.
And did he play opposite Shabazz Napier?
I believe he did.
Yes.
They were loaded. Well, I'm pretty familiar with Lawrence Academy because I was the athletic director at Groton Dunstable.
Okay.
We're in the same town.
Right.
And their coach, Kevin Wasinski, I indirectly introduced him to his wife.
Oh, no kidding.
Who I saw last Saturday, Kristen, at St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. And they now have two boys playing for Lawrence Academy. Kevin does a great job. I was so impressed with, I think I told you earlier this morning, that they went toe-to-toe with Winchington, the Winchington right. School, who has all these PGs and Division I players. And L.A. went toe-to-toe with a young team. I mean, legit sophomore and junior high school type players. And played the right way. I was so impressed. I mean, they do a great job up there. But, yeah, Denzel played there, mm-hmm. and then he went on to play Division I basketball at a couple of places.
Loyola Marymount or Loyola Chicago?
Loyola Chicago, right. And Loyola Maryland, or Loyola Baltimore.
Yeah.
Something of mm-hmm. that nature. And then, you know, I met him. He's played professionally now over in Germany, and met him at a camp this summer. And he was kind enough, at the end of the summer, he came in and actually trained and worked with some of our kids, and has since brought a couple of other people in. And he contacted me this fall and came back in when we were down at Montemoy working out. So mm-hmm. when you have a pro in the gym working, like doing what the kids are doing, and actually when we run up and down playing,
that's got to be the best advertisement.
It's awesome.
Right?
Well, it's awesome for the kids.
Well, that's what I mean.
The compete level, when they see a pro working in a, mm-hmm. in the gym, the compete level for the entire 90 minutes or whatever we do, you know, it's up. And it's so good for the kids.
And I know Denzel just a little bit, but yeah. he's always seemed like a very respectable guy, humble, quiet, plays the game the right way.
He's tremendous. And since, you know, for some reason, I think following up when, I don't know, we talked a little bit, and I said, hey, I can meet you in Wareham at the Y. And so we've been doing that, and then his friend Jordan Resendez has come in, and we've started to do a couple of workouts, and I'm going to meet Jordan Monday. He's been terrific to work with. They're just great, humble guys who want mm-hmm. to just get in the gym and work, you know.
Now, were you at Old Rochester when he did a year at OR? Because didn't he do
Yeah, we talked about that, and I think he was at OR as a freshman, played for Steve Cavallo. Right. I might have just missed that. Or I might have been there. I think I was there, but I don't remember him for some reason. I'm very apologetic about that. But he mentioned a couple of kids on the team, and I'm like, yeah, I remember Ben, and I remember so-and-so. But Steve Cavallo does a great job there.
Yeah, he does.
I had mm-hmm. hired Steve as the JV coach, and then he took over for Al Labarante as the varsity coach. Steve is top notch. He's the best.
In baseball or basketball, right?
He's the best. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a great guy. They've got, you know, good man there.
So my question is, in your training and your skills that you said, maybe you've already alluded to this a little bit already, but does your clinic, how you put everything together?
How about curriculum?
Yes, there we go. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for here. Does it differ at all from middle school to high school to college to pro? Or is it all basically rooted in the same
fundamentals? Well, it does differ. It has to differ because you can't do certain things unless you have certain basic skills, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a quick story. I had a father text me this morning a video. His son, he's on a varsity team here in the Cape, and apparently they have a scrimmage this morning. He texted me a video of his son doing form shooting at the basket. Just to the side of the basket. Other kids are shooting around.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing form shooting. And he texted me. I'm going to pull this up, if you don't mind.
So in form shooting, just so I can explain, is kind of what you have when you have the ball out like this. You want to get the nice 90-degree angle in your elbow.
Yeah,
and then
you start with one-hand shooting. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ray Allen did it. Everybody does it. Anyone who's as a shooter does it. So we always start with form shooting, where you emphasize proper technique, follow through, balance, you know, proper footwork. Mm-hmm. So I got this text 9:52. And he says, I've seen blank doing this in warm-ups the previous scrimmage and today. Has to be your influence, ? So I watched the video. Well, he said he's been at it for a solid 10 minutes. I said, yeah, form shooting. We do every session with all levels. And he got back to me, love it, love the focus, and so forth. So, yeah, we do the form shooting at every level. So mm-hmm. even with Denzel and
Jordan, yeah.
Jordan pros, they start with form shooting. So we do it especially with the younger kids because you can't work on shooting unless you have the right form. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be The three-point line, really, in all these middle schools, the three-point line should be
non-existent.
Non-existent. Yeah. Should be sanded off, sanded out, because mm-hmm. Most young kids don't have the form, don't have the strength. So what they do is pick up bad habits. But
sure.
So, you know, to get back to the curriculum question, you need to have the basics. And so we really teach the basics with the younger players.
Mm-hmm.
And with older players, you still work on the basics because you can always improve. But, you know, they have the skill and they have the form to do the basics. So you,
right.
Kobe Bryant was all about the basics, about the basics. And they said, you know, hey, you're the greatest player in the world. Why do you spend so much time on the basics? He said, because I'm the greatest player in the world. That's why.
Chicken or the egg type of thing, right? Yeah.
So, you know, we do things, I mean, you do things to challenge people, like two-ball dribbling. And, you know, we do a lot of interesting type drills, but it's really just to make you uncomfortable, to challenge you. But we do things like this, you know, we work on step backs and all of that stuff, but we, you know, we emphasize the core and we emphasize balance. I'm very studious. I try to pick up things from other trainers. I watch a lot of video and pick up things that I think are appropriate.
And I think there's even some nice nuance in there too. I think one of the days that I happened to pop in there and catch a practice was, I think one of the drills you were working on was almost, unorthodox offhand shooting, or, you know, jumping off the wrong leg and shooting with the opposite hand, or things like that. Because, you know, it kind of,
sometimes
put together
we'll
a game situation.
You know, we'll do, you know, left-hand layups on the right side, right-hand layups on the left side. I mean, because those are true game situations. Or I never say you shoot, like, on a layup, you're going off the wrong foot. I'll say you're going off. That's an off-foot layup, because there are games when it's
going to
be the off-foot.
Right.
You know, look at Kyrie Irving. It's off-foot. I remember working with Joey Downs. Sometimes we do form shooting. Excuse me, just we go left-handed. He'd shoot left-handed. You know, and actually I'm going to incorporate a drill this week which Joey used to do, which was two-ball. Where you hold two balls, you throw one up in the air, you transfer the other one to your right hand and shoot, and then catch the first ball
almost
in your
like
left
juggling.
Hand.
Yeah,
it's a Steph Curry thing, which will speed up
your release.
Will help your release. You know, you get a quicker release because you have to. You've got one ball in the air that you're about to try to catch, and you're going to shoot with the other ball. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff that we try to do. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, we've done some work with the Euro step, which seems to be the fad.
Continue with that. I have a question to follow you.
But here's the thing:
the Euro step.
I don't think it's. If you're going to work on the Euro step, you better really, really put in a lot of time and become proficient at it, because it's hard. And I read a study that showed last year in college, field goal attempts and field goal makes off of the Euro step were 21%. And that's accurate because it came from synergy. So the Euro step isn't all that you think it is, okay? And the same with a lot of one-foot takeoff layups. You know, I don't know if there's enough emphasis about getting 2 feet under you and getting 2 feet into the paint, because a lot of people go up one step, 1 foot, and they're out of control.
They create
charges, or so it's interesting. It's interesting. You know, when you start to break this all down, it's extremely interesting. You know, another thing I like to work on is the hook shot.
Right,
which
yeah,
is old
I've seen
school.
That firsthand, right.
You saw JP make one the other day in that Mashpee scrimmage, which was terrific. We have guys that have no understanding about a hook shot, and that used to be standard fare back in the day. But, you know, everybody wants to go out. You know, you talk about form shooting to start your warm-ups, but, I mean, the mic and drill should be standard, too, where you start to get a feel for hook shots.
So two things off of that here. So Eurostep, I feel like that is one of the more scrutinized moves in high school basketball, that on the account of refs are going to call that almost every time as a travel. I feel like they almost don't even allow it in the game.
Yeah, it seems like they're starting to let it go a little bit, but go ahead.
A little bit. So I wonder, is that – what's the worst move to have in a high school basketball game right now? What is something that you wouldn't teach that goes on? I think of – you mentioned the form shooting and developing bad habits. You know, I think James Harden is almost bad for the league with his offense.
I don't think
his shooting and his moves.
Listen, kids like to horse around. I don't think I would get involved with the. I have taught the Euro step. I've done a little work with it, but I don't think I'd get involved with the Euro step unless you've got everything else in place and you're really proficient at it. Okay, especially in high school, because to your point, you're going to get called for travel. Okay, so I would probably make that one of the last things I try to master. Master the basics. If you're good with the basics, footwork, balance, not enough emphasis is on stopping and starting either, you know, because so many kids have a problem starting, they have a problem stopping, they're on balance, they travel. You see youth league games, kids dribble down the court, pick up their dribble, travel.
Right.
They can't stop, you know.
And that was one of the benefits of Connor Campbell's game that we mentioned earlier. Is his
ability shot fakes aren't used enough. We, you know, I do shot fakes with everybody. Shot fake and shot fake shot, shot fake drive, shot fake slide dribble. As soon as you bring that ball up to shot fake or to maybe shoot, everybody on the floor moves. The other nine people are affected. So shot fakes just aren't used enough, you know, I don't think. So it's just, if you are extremely proficient at the basics, you're going to be pretty good. And you have somewhat of an IQ. You keep your head up and you understand the game a little bit. There are some people that do not understand the game. There are some people that's almost, that's hard to teach. You know, it's almost an inborn trait where you have an understanding of the game.
Well, and you hear it so often from coaches when they talk about players, you know, this guy has a high basketball IQ, and you almost kind of take it as a cliche, but that is something I don't think you can overrate.
Yeah, there's no...
Especially at the high school level.
There's no question. I mean, there are some players that are just sort of dumb, you know, to be honest. And then other players have a great IQ. And they, you know, to me, try to make your teammates better. Try to make everybody better. And
I just think playing within the flow of the game.
I think, you know, and I'll get to another point as well, but I also think learning how to play off the ball. Learn how to play without the ball. Okay.
Yeah, moving around.
And whatever your coach wants you to do, if your coach wants you to screen off the ball, cut off the ball, spot up off the ball, you know, we have rules in the summer when we run up and down that if you pass and stand, I call it a turnover, the ball's going the other way. We also have dribble rules. We allow three dribbles outside the three, two mid-range, and one in the post. I don't want kids dribbling all over the place. So the ball moves. You know, the ball should have energy. The ball should move.
Well, and that's why I brought up James Harden as an example of what not to do. Because you saw, you know, him kind of create that new off-foot step-back three that he had in preseason. And with his dribble isolation, ball dominance, you know, and analytics, you know, rave about this guy. Call him the most efficient player, more efficient than Jordan was. You know,
if you want to stand around and watch him, I mean, I don't know if I want to be playing with him.
And then you look at, as an example, Russell Westbrook is having his worst statistical season of his career because of it.
But, I mean, Harden, he's a tremendous athlete and a tremendous player. I just think sometimes less can be more.
Right.
I watch a lot of the Rico Hines videos, the summer runs at UCLA. You see all these guys play. It's beautiful to see, you know. So I don't know. Mike D'Antoni lets him go and wants him to do that. And, you know, people have really blossomed and have had incredible stats under D'Antoni. There's no question. Steve Nash and Amar'e Stoudemire.
Sean Marion,
Even, you know, Carmelo and so forth.
Right,
so, but I want to mention that making other people better, you know, I'm a fan of, and I've taken heat for this, I'm a fan of Lonzo Ball and LaMelo Ball. I'm a big fan. And I thought LaMelo, 2 years back, was going to be a terrific player. And I took a little heat. And now it's like, this kid is terrific because he's got 6'7", maybe 6'8", with great skills, can shoot.
Well, it's the same thing.
And makes everybody better. And if you know you're playing with a guy that will find you, guess what? You run and you move because you know the ball will be delivered. And that's the story with these guys. So I say, find people that will make other people better. And it might be doing dirty work, rebounding, setting screens, loose balls.
Freeing up other guys,
So I think he'll be the number one pick. If I had the number one pick next year, I would take LaMelo Ball, no question.
Well, I think he's you know, scoring up the draft draft rankings right now.
Yep, I would take him. And I still think Lonzo will be, I know he was chosen number two. I still think in that draft class, he'll be up there. I mean, it was him and Jason Tatum.
That's right.
And Donovan Mitchell, I think, was in there too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I think as we kind of wrap up here, I know you alluded this to, I feel like we touched on so much here. The three-point shot in basketball, you know, again, with the analytics in basketball at the pro level, whereas we were saying off the air that, you know, you have better probability or it's a better shot to take a contested three than an uncontested two-point jumper. And I think you're starting to see that trickle-down effect into the high school game. And just your thoughts on that overall. Well, I think it can play into a team that wants to run and gun.
Yep.
But also, you know, you're going to have those 5 for 23 shooting games.
Let me ask you a question. Well, let's talk about the three-point shot, okay? Let me ask you a question. Who made the first three-pointer in the NBA?
Larry Bird?
No, but good guess. It was a Celtic.
Oh. Ah, geez, I don't know.
Chris Ford.
Oh, see, I would never have guessed that.
But anyway,
that's a good question. Bar question. I like that. Wager a drink on that.
Yeah. The 3-point shot was necessary because the game had become too confined to the, you know, it was too much. The game was heavily weighted toward the bigger players, okay? And, you know, the 3-point, there had to be a way to even things out. So, you know, the game was clogged up and so forth. So I think the 3-point shot was necessary. Now, what happens is people adapt.
Mm-hmm.
You change rules and people adapt, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So they adapted. And, you know, the high school 3-point line, I think, is at a good place. The college 3-point line was only 1 foot further back.
Mm-hmm.
And for college players, that's really not enough of a challenge. So I think Division I this year went to the FIBA rule.
Right, right.
Which I think is great. The NBA is much deeper. But great players, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, on and on, Ray Allen, they adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And they work at it. And that line...
Even the Joel Embiid's adapt.
Yes. You know? Yeah, it's unbelievable. He trails the play and he shoots a three. I mean... When you're 7 feet, you don't need to get the ball up very high.
Right.
When you've got the ball over your head as a 7-footer. And you work on it, I mean, you can get it done. But here's the thing. Kids walk into the gym. I mean, go to any gym. Kids walk in. They don't even warm up. They start hucking up threes.
Yep.
And 90% of them, you know, the form is horrendous. So where are they going with that? You know, I chatted the game last night. I think I told you this. I was just curious to see. I watched a game online, a college game, Bridgewater State and Dean, and their total from the 3-point line was 7 for 49. They were 14%.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So last night, Sandwich was 5 for 23. Plymouth North was 7 for 17. Overall, they were 12 for 40. They were 22%. My thing, when I coached high school boys, we would stay after practice. I said, you want to shoot threes, you got to stay after practice. You got to shoot 60%. I'd have them go to 5 spots. Now, this is simple. Catch and shoot. 5 spots, 5 shots at every spot.
Against the air.
Against the air. If you can't make 15 out of 25, you can't shoot a three in the games. So I think people, coaches need to, you know who can shoot, you know who can't shoot. Kids should be taught as, you know, what's a challenge shot, what's a bad shot for them. So I think only certain kids should have a latitude to shoot threes. Now, Brad Stevens, it's like if you're open, shoot the three. But they all work on it. They're all pros.
And that probability that I mentioned before, you know, that has to get lower at the college game and then dramatically lower at the high school game.
I mean, if you're against the zone and you're reversing the ball and you're on the wing and you can catch and step in, and you're a good shooter, that's a good shot for you.
Right.
Now, if you're coming down full bore off the dribble, there aren't a lot of high school kids that can go full bore, pull up off the dribble, and hit threes.
Right.
You chart that, and you see what the probability is. The only thing about firing threes that might be beneficial or what might be helpful is if you have a team, if the other four guys can go and get that rebound, because you generally have long rebounds, and you know, you may get the ball and be able to convert or kick it up back out for a more of a step-in three, you know? So I just think you have to be careful with the threes. I mean, you see kids come down, you know, at summer league or whatever, and they huck up a three, they hit one, the form is terrible.
They got
now
lucky,
they feel like they have license to shoot another 7,
right.
8,
your chest
or 9
is
threes.
Out. Right.
And when you total it up at the end, oh, you were 1 for 9. You know, oh, I hit a big three. Yeah, you were 1 for 9. So, you know, that's 11%. Good for you. I just think your strength can be your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a really good shooting team, but you know what? You can get beat if you rely on the three. So I think you have to sort of analytics be damned a little bit. If you can get to the rim, get to the rim. If you can get fouled, get to the foul line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are makeable shots, and you put the other team at a disadvantage if they get into foul trouble. So it's an art form. We all see it differently. We're all artists. I mean, you know,
sure.
You can be a Da Vinci and...
Or Jesus Shuttlesworth, poetry in motion.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's fascinating. I'm still at an advanced age, enthralled by it, love it, love to get in the gym and love to see it. That's my form of art, you know.
Well, I'm right there with you. It's my favorite time of the year. We're approaching almost a full hour here, so you know, I appreciate your time opening
my
up.
Feet. Now, is that limo? Is the engine running? Or?
Well, yeah, it's on the hour here, so I don't want to get charged. You know, we go a minute over. You know, I get charged for that second hour, so I don't want to.
Let me see.
Get a wrap
my Venmo.
Up here.
Oh, I just got the okay.
Okay,
thanks.
You got it. Yeah,
thank
okay.
you.
I had to take out my loan shark.
Two
here,
coffees,
you know.
Two coffees and a bagel. Thank
there
you
we
very
go.
Much.
Yeah,
that's great.
No problem. But yeah, well, you know, I'm sure you'll be seeing much of us. You know,
absolutely.
The listener,
absolutely.
At the any high school game this season. So, you know, come take a look at the local shot doctor.
Absolutely,
Bob
hey,
Catalina.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Love it, and happy to help anybody. Who loves the game.
Yeah, get in the gym, right, guys?
Get in the gym,
yeah. All right.
Thanks, Wes.
All right, till next time.